Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, as we daily try to navigate our best through a broken, fallen, dying, decaying world. Lord, we pray that your word would illuminate, to lead, guide, direct us, Lord. We're so grateful for your word. Without your word, we wouldn't know what to do, where to go, how to act, what to say, how to think, Lord. We would be lost without your word. Speak to us through your word. Bless your word, Lord. Holy Spirit, continue to rule and reign throughout this service. Thank you for our mothers once again, Lord. We bless you on today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, if you would, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And this is actually the first year, because I keep my notes and everything. This is the first year I've done a Mother's Day message. Normally, I just keep rolling with our theme, whatever that is. So we're going to pause from our theme, the new and the old, the new life, the old man, the new man, all that stuff. We're pausing. And we're going to do a Mother's Day message. Amen? Amen. Or we're going to attempt to do a Mother's Day message, Sister Tara. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Remember, family, as we continue on this year, let the Proverbs replace the horoscope. Amen. Amen. Let's believe what God is telling us. Let's take God at his word. Amen. Amen. And let's try our best to live this thing. Amen. And here we are in May. And we're really thankful. Hey, Mama. Good morning, Mama. Got to be on my best behavior on Mother's Day. Amen. Did I say 1 Samuel chapter 1? All right, let's see how we can get into this. It's a lot to cover. Although this message is for Mother's Day, this is more like a family message, though. So it's for fathers, it's for mothers, it's for kids, it's for parents, it's for everybody. So let's try and pick up the principles that's being taught through the word. Amen. All right. Here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Okay. All right. And verse 1. Now there was a certain man of, and I tried to work on these names, so just amen. There was a certain man of Ramath Zophim of the mount of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zup, and Ephratite. And he had two wives. Somebody say problem already. All right. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Phinehas. And Phinehas had children, but Hannah had no children. She was barren. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion or a larger portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord, underline the Lord, had shut up her womb. So here we go. We have a certain man, underline it in verse 1. When we talked last week, it was a certain man who sat in there. He was in the New Testament. He begged for alms. So it's always a certain. We're specific and we're special to God. We are certain men and women to God. So make a note of that, that God knows everything about you. That's the good news. And the bad news is that God knows everything about you. Amen. You are specific. You are special. It's not all men. This is, doesn't happen to everyone. It doesn't happen to every woman, but to certain ones. And we are certain. We are particular. We are special to God. Here we see that this gentleman has two wives. It's always a problem. That was the culture back then. And men, we know now, those of us that are married, I'm not going to look at anybody, but it's just, it just with one wife is enough. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
that one is enough. I'm not looking anywhere. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And so here's this guy, right? It is really a full-time job. And so here's the problem we have. Because when you have more than one anything, something's going to be cheated. If you got more than one wife, you got more than one God, something's going to have to give. Somebody's going to be cheated. Then here he is making comparisons. He treats one different. That's why you shouldn't be comparing your wife to any other woman. Mothers and wives, you shouldn't be comparing your husband to any other man. You shouldn't be comparing your mom to any other mom. If my mom was like this, my mom, no, you don't make comparisons. You shouldn't be comparing. Don't compare your kids to any other kids. And don't compare your kids to each other. Amen. That always creates a problem. We got a lot going on right here. We got wives, we got kids, we got mothers, we got a husband with two wives. And we have one of the wives who the Lord has shut up her womb. And you just have to understand that we are where we are because of God. She can't be upset with her situation or circumstance because God's hand is all in it. You can't be upset with your situation and circumstance. You got to understand that God's hand is in it. If he wanted you somewhere else, you'd be there. If he wants you to have something else, you'd have it. God will shut the door. He will shut the womb. He'll open it. He'll shut it. But just know that it's God who is in control. We see we have here a blended family. God bless you. We know that Jesus came from a blended family. Amen. Joseph didn't treat Jesus any different than he did his other brothers and sisters. We know that Jesus was a carpenter. That's why they say, isn't this the carpenter's son? He was just like anybody else growing up. So we see that God does bless blended families. We see that even in with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Leah and Rachel. So that God does bless that. So the problem isn't the family. The problem is happens in verse 6. It says, and her adversary also provoked her sore, just kind of teased her, just greatly, and to make her miserable because the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, remember, Elkanah, he's gone up to the temple. So they're gone up to the temple and they're actually in church now. And here you have someone making fun of you in church because of your temporary condition. And ladies, mothers, don't be stressed out because of your temporary condition, because God is in control. Look at verse 6 again. And her adversary also provoked her greatly to make her stress out, to be worried. Do not be stressed out or worried, because the Lord has you right where he wants you. That's the way that should read. Verse 7, as he did year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord. See that she's into the house of the Lord. So she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. That's an involuntary fast. Somebody make a note. She was so stressed out, she's in the house of the Lord. She's stressed out, she's not eating. And then here's the nerve of this lady to try and make fun of her because she doesn't have any kids. Now, those of us with kids know we should be making fun of her because she has kids, okay? As crazy as those kids can be, are you kidding me? I wish you would try and clown me because I don't have any kids. I'm going to clown you because you got kids because I've seen your kids. Are you kidding me? Not you, Jamaican Jadis. We're talking about Jalen. Yes. That's who we're talking about. We tell everybody he's away at college, but we know where he really is. All right. Yeah, that crazy guy there. Okay. But you know, it's like I said, it's unfortunate that they're in the house of the Lord. But see, and ladies and gentlemen, especially ladies, don't let anyone make you feel inadequate because of where you are in life. Whether you're a mother or not, whether you're married or not, whether you're single or not, whether you're a grandmother, whether you're widowed or divorced, don't let anybody make you feel inadequate because of where God has you right now. God has you right where you are in the position and the situation because he wants you to depend on him for everything. See how the enemy works. He wants you to be stressed out and about what you don't have. And then you can't appreciate what you do have. And we all know that, you know, it always looks better when somebody else has it. And then we get it and it's like we don't appreciate it. We don't even want it. If, you know, we think back and we lusted after something or someone. And then you get it and you're like, oh, it wasn't even all that. I don't even want it no more. Ladies, think about the guy who pursued you. And once he got you, let's keep it real in here. You didn't see him anymore. And guys, we pursued after stuff and we got it like I'm done. And the enemy wants to make you think that where you are is not where God wants you, that you need something else. He's trying to clown you and tease you that you're inadequate. And the devil is a liar. And we can't be preoccupied with what we don't have. We have to start thanking God for what we do have. Yeah. Stop being preoccupied with what you don't have and thank God for what you do have. Here it is. I said, read this. All right. It says you can never enjoy where you are or what you have when you are constantly complaining and crying about what you don't have. And you are trying to get somewhere else. Let me say it again. You can never enjoy where you are and what you have when you're constantly complaining and crying about what you don't have and you're trying to get somewhere else. Stop letting the enemy preoccupy you with what you don't have and what's not going right. Thank God for what you do have and what is going right. So here we go, verse 7. And as he did so, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat, broken and barren in the house of the Lord. And it shows that we have haters. Unfortunately, sometimes there's haters in the house. We thank God not here. We don't have any here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. Amen. Make another note, though, but Hannah still went to God's, to the house of the Lord, and she prayed and she fasted in church. So upset she couldn't eat, but she still came to church. Somebody say amen. Amen. In the house of the Lord, worried, crying, upset, and can't eat. Somebody ever been there? Look at verse 8. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why are you crying? And why aren't you eating? And why is your heart grieved? This cat got a cold line right here, though. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Ooh, brothers, you better take a note on that one. All right? Brothers, take a note on that one. He was so dialed into his wife. He didn't even ask her what was going on. He knew. He was so dialed into his wife, man. He didn't ask her what's wrong. He knew she was crying because she was barren. He was dialed into her that much, and he comforted her with words. And he backed it up with action. Because he knew where his wife was lacking, he overcompensated to make sure he was better to her than 10 sons. Because look at the next verse. Her whole countenance changed, brother, Pastor Manny. It changed. Look what she, look. So Hannah rose up early after they had eaten. So obviously she felt a lot better. She got something to eat. Amen. And after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. So don't miss that. Men, make sure we comfort our wives, our mothers, our daughters. Make sure we comfort them. And not badger and talk down to them, but build them up. Because it's different, because men and women are wired differently. I don't care what society is trying to say, but we know that God wired women differently from men. A kind word goes a long way. A hug and a smile and men, write, married men, write this down. Just listen to one of the psychologists or whatever, you know, focus on the family and that kind of stuff. The guy said, he asked his wife, honey, what can I do to help you out? Just randomly throughout the day. Honey, what can I do to help you out? Two things. The other thing he said, honey, how can I make your life easier? Husbands, I don't see you writing. These cats, boy. He said, he says that every day to his wife. How can I make your job easier? What can I do to help you out? It's what we see modeled here by Elkanah. Changed his wife's entire countenance. Verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul. Here's the priest. The priest is watching. We know our priest, our high priest is Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. You see that she's in the temple. She's in the temple of the Lord. She's in church. We're in church. She's broken. She's barren. She's bitter. But she's still in church. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's a reason to get closer to God and not get further away from God. The priest is watching. Jesus is always watching. We know we are the temple now. We take God with us wherever we go. It's not the building, but this corporate worship and fellowship that we have is what God commands us to do. And it makes a huge difference. Verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. And she wept sore. She just greatly wept. And folks, you know, this is not easy. It's not easy to be bitter and crying. And be in church, you know, because we want to come to church and pretend that everything is okay. Praise the Lord. Good to see you. Yes. How are you doing? Fine. Of course. Praise the Lord. But see, this passage, it teaches us that it's okay to come to church and when things are not okay. This passage shows us it's okay to come to church when things are not okay. God will meet you at your point of need. And family, we shouldn't have to pretend with God or each other. Here's my prayers. I was going through this lesson. My prayer is that here at South Bay Abundant Life Church, we can be a church where people can come, can feel comfortable coming just as they are without being clowned or being made fun of because of their present condition. It's my prayer for our church here, that we would catch hold to this. We're not going to, you can come here just as you are. We're not going to clown you. We're not going to make you feel uncomfortable. We're not going to put you down because of your present temporary condition, because God can change things as we're getting ready to see. Yes, yes, yes. Don't make a permanent decision based on a temporary situation. Please don't do it. God can change things as we will see. Make a note. It's okay to come to church when things aren't going well. Husbands, make a point to always be mindful of what you say to your wives, your sons, your daughters, those around you. Verse 11. Make a note of this prayer. Listen to the heart of this prayer. And then ask yourself, when was the last time that you prayed to God with your whole heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength? Because if you don't give God 100%, you'll never know what he could do. I mean, practice prayers like this daily. Listen to what she says in verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto me a man child, give unto me a son. She was specific in her prayers. Then I will give him unto you, Lord, all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head, which means I will dedicate him to you and I will raise him as a godly man. Be specific and give God the glory in your prayers. Sometimes, we all got decisions that we're faced with. We got situations, circumstances. But when have you put your heart into your prayer like this? Like, God, I understand exactly where I am and what I'm going through. And only you can do it and you can change it. Verse 12, as it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now, Hannah, she spoke in her heart. So make a note. Your prayers don't have to be out loud. Somebody say amen. It's not the position of your knees, your legs, you're laying out prostrate. It's your heart. That's what God looked at. And that's what I'm telling you. She put her whole heart into this prayer. So Eli, the priest, he's looking. He sees her mouth moving. Verse 13. Now, Hannah, she spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunk. We come in here, we lift our hands, we raise our hands, and we worship. It's not a spectator sport. It's active participation where you're giving God your heart. You're sharing your heart with God. God is speaking to your heart during worship. You don't want to miss praise and worship. If you don't understand that, then you will miss it. Or when praise and worship is going on, you're looking around as and saying, God, I thank you. I love you. You don't have to say anything. Your mouth could just be moving. People think you're crazy, but they don't know your story. This guy thinks Hannah is crazy. He doesn't know her story. She don't care what he thinks. She's giving up. God, I need you. I don't have a kid. I'd love to have a kid. God, if you give me a kid, I will give that kid back to you all the days of his life. I promise. And she's praying with her heart. And this guy sees her lips moving and thinks she's crazy. And people think you and I are crazy because we come in here, we lift our hands and we worship God. Those of us that are present during praise and worship. I'm going to leave that alone. But that's why we don't miss it. It's a two way. God, we tell God and how great he is. We adore him. We worship him. He speaks to us through the word, and he speaks to us during worship. You don't want to miss it. You're missing your blessing. And you shouldn't be looking around at somebody. You should be focused in on God with your whole heart. God, I need you this week, today, right now.
Amen.
This guy thinks he's crazy. He didn't understand that she had a direct connect relationship with God. People should see you lifting your hands and clapping and praising God and moving your mouth. It's a two-way street. In any relationship, if one person is just talking, that's an abnormal relationship. Just try it this week. No, just try it today. Husbands, just let your wife talk all day because it's Mother's Day. See how that goes. Give me a call tonight. Let me know how that went. Don't answer back. Just listen. Okay? I mean, that's what it's like when we don't come and we don't worship God and we come get the word. We just listen and say, God, God said, you going to talk to me at all? That's why we come here. So it's the total experience. You don't want to miss anything that God has for you. Allow God to speak to your heart during worship. You should be doing it individually throughout the week. And then we come and we do it corporately on Sundays and Wednesdays. Where are we at? Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. Let me keep moving. Verse 14. And Eli said unto her, how long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you. Lay off the bottle. You are tripping. You coming to church drunk, tripping. That is cold, man. That's cold. All right, let's go to verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, no, no, my Lord. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. Look at that, being real in church. I got some stuff going on. It's a little rough right now. I'm not drunk. Look what she says. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Ain't that something? You know, like you pour a drink. She said, no, I'm not pouring drinks. I'm pouring out my soul. And when was the last time you poured out your soul before the Lord because of what you're going through? Mothers on behalf of your children, children on behalf of your mothers, husbands on behalf of your wife, and wives on behalf of your husband. When is the last time you poured out your soul, not to them, but before the Lord, on behalf of them? Husbands, again, don't come complaining to me if you ain't telling me, Pastor, I poured out my soul to the Lord for her. It ain't. Once you do that, you realize it ain't nothing to complain about. Wives, once you do that, you realize it ain't nothing to complain about because God got it from there. And parents, that's what we have to do on behalf of our children and leave it there. And God got it. And not be stressed out and worrying, even as Hannah was in the house of God. And for our youth and for those of us who are not so young, stop pouring your heart out to these loser guys and loser girls. Pour your heart out to the Lord. Pouring your heart out to these losers. They're just using you, trying to take advantage of you. Pour your heart and soul out to the Lord. Verse 16, count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial or of Satan or of a wicked woman. She said, I don't get down like that. She said, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken. Boy, she's having it tough, but she's being real. Who's had an abundance of grief and complaints? That's what she's taking to God. Not to her spouse, not to anybody else. She's taking it right to God. Mothers, take it right to God. Don't pour it all out on your kids, on your spouse. Men, don't pour it out on your husband, on your kids. Take it to God. Out of your abundance of your grief and complaints, give it to God. Pour it out to God. Stop holding it in. But see, like I said, you really got to get real with God, and you should be praying like this every day. I've been talking about how we pray and fast every day. We've been talking for at least 2 years. We wake up and we spend time with God. Mark, this is one of those prayers. It's a few prayers as we go through. I tell you to make a note and add to the just your prayer list of prayers to come back to. I believe the other one was like Ephesians 3:20. This is another one, and I can share the other ones with you. If you like. But mark this. Just, you know, sometimes we just have to be real before God and real with each other. And that's okay. It's okay to be in the house, and the enemy wants you not to come to church because you're dealing with stuff, as if you're only one. If that was the case, who would be here this morning? Amen. Nobody. Thank you. If we stayed home because of the stuff we're dealing with, I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. I'd just mail it in. Who takes the prayers? Is that you, Sister Kathy? Who takes the prayers? When we have prayer requests for Wednesday night, who takes those? Okay, I'm going to mail mine to you next week, all right? We'll just mail it in, all right? I'll find your address, don't worry. I'm going to follow you home after church today. Praise the Lord, folks. Amen. Verse 17, look at this. Look what the priest says. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. It comes back to that. Remember, we've been talking about the peace of God to guard your heart. We talked about it in Philippians 4:7. He says, let the peace of God guard your heart. And I looked it up, and this is shalom. It's the same word. The rest, the quietness, the safety, the calmness, the stillness. Let all that go with that guarding your heart. Can't get away from the peace. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee the petition that thou hast asked of him. Remember, she prayed. It was just a temporary situation. Family, try not to see when you have the peace of God guarding your heart, it prevents you from making a permanent decision on a temporary situation. We just don't panic and you do things on impulse. You got to stop and like, okay, God, whew. I don't know if you all have been practicing that during the week. I've been practicing that daily. So I go, oh, you know what? Oh, I see what's going on. Okay, Lord, you work it out. But it gets better in verse 18. And she said, let the handmaid find what? Grace. Always types and shadows of Christ, the Holy Spirit, peace and grace in thy sight. Great is the favor of God, is the kindness of God. So you got the peace of God, the quietness, the rest. Then you got the grace of God, the kindness and the favor of God. So the woman went her way and she did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Two notes. Here's the revelation. Okay. And an encounter with God has changed her life. It didn't change her situation, but it changed her life. Let me say it again. She had an encounter in the house of God with the man of God through the Spirit of God, and it changed her life. It didn't change her situation, not yet, but it changed her life, and it changed her perspective. Allow God to change your perspective. Allow God to change your life. It might not change your situation, but God is changing things. It hadn't changed yet. Her whole countenance changed. And then later, let's go. Let's wrap this up. Verse 19, and there rose up in the morning early and worshiped, still worshiping. Come on, somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Somebody underline that. It's not a couple's thing, but it is a couple's thing. Husband and wife worship together and made love. And God was there. That's why you can't have sex outside of marriage and say God's going to bless it. He's not, because it's not holy like this. Amen. Let me say that again for the youngsters, because they're going, ew. Okay. All right. Then they rose up in the morning early and worshiped, husband and wife, before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Eli said, we done worship together. I'm getting me some. And he knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. The Lord was there. Husband and wife. Amen.
Amen.
Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying because I have asked him of the Lord. Keep it holy, couples. Keep it holy, singles. Keep it holy, youth. Keep God in the middle of it. You can't be praying out to God and doing things that don't glorify God. And Samuel means heard by God, because I've asked him of the Lord. Make a note. Samuel means heard by God. Oh, man. I hope somebody's getting this. Go down to verse 27. Let's wrap it up for the second time. For this child I prayed. Mothers, pray for your kids. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Pray with your whole heart. Pray, pour your soul out to the Lord, and believe God that he's going to give it to you, because you're living right. You're praying according to his word. Pray to the Lord. Therefore have I granted him to the Lord. Okay? That word lent means granted. So once you give your kid to the Lord, don't try and take him back through worry and stress and being anxious. Let me say it again, mothers. Fathers, once you give them to the Lord, don't start taking them back. I got to worry. I got to stress. Give him back to me, Lord. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I'm going to do. Once you give him to the Lord, give him to the Lord. Yes. Stop worrying and stressing and losing sleep. And you say, I've given him to the Lord. You haven't. Verse 28, therefore also have I given him to the Lord. As long as he live, he shall be given to the Lord. And she had the child with her then, and he worshiped the Lord there. Teach your kids how to worship. Third closing. And final. Look at verse, look at chapter 2 and 1. Here's the prayer. Mark this prayer as well. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiced in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. Somebody say amen. My smile is enlarged. My mouth is smiling over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside you, Lord. Neither is there any rock like our God. Bow your heads. Lord, we thank you and we love you and we bless you. God, give us the discipline and the courage to pray to you like that, to seek after you like that, to pour our hearts out to you when we are complaining and we're broken and barren and bitter. God, let us still come to you with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Let give it all to you. Pray that the mothers, the fathers, the families in here would give all, cast all their cares upon you, because you care for us. There is no God like our rock. Even in the midst of being clowned and being made fun of, there is no God like our rock. Even when there are haters in the house, there is no rock like our God. We see that you answer prayers. Even when others don't know what's going on and think we're crazy, because we love you with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. There's no rock like our God. So God, cover these moms, cover these family, cover the members and visitors and guests. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless you. And as we honor our moms, Lord, we thank you for them. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You ready? You ready? I'm going to ask for, I believe, Miss Brandy and the youth are coming up really quickly, and we're going to dismiss after this special presentation to our mothers. Somebody say amen. Amen.